You're listening to Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari, where NFL legends live on. Back to you, boys.
And now back with us on Thursday Night Tailgate is Matthew Lawrence. Matthew has become a great friend over the last 18 months or so. I've been blessed to have him join me several times on the golf show on Next on the Tee. This is his second appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate. You know Matthew from so many of his great movie appearances. You know, he's been on TV. He's doing radio now. And if you're like me and a big fan of the movie Eddie and the Cruisers, you remember him from his role as the bass player Sal Amato. He had a reoccurring role in Beverly Hills 90210 playing Mel Silver, David Silver's father. He was in the movie Streets of Fire, reuniting with Eddie and the Cruisers co-star Michael Pare. He was also in St. Elmo's Fire. He was a part of the cast of the sixth season of Saturday Night Live. He starred in a TV show called Duet with Mary Page Keller back in the late 1980s. More recently, he's been a sideline analyst for first Duke basketball and now Kentucky basketball. He also hosts his own golf show on ESPN Radio WLXG Sports Radio AM 1300 up in Lexington, Kentucky, called Backspin Golf, which I miss greatly. That show is on hiatus until next month, so Matthew is ruining my Sunday mornings now by not being on that golf show. He also does a weekly drive time, a daily drive time show called Matthew and Mikey, which I listen to here in Atlanta on the WLXG app, and we're excited that he is back with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Matthew, Chris and Bob, how are you, my friend?
Hi, Matthew.
Hello, Chris and Bob. It's so great to talk to you, and if I get beeps on my phone while I'm talking to you, it's just I'm getting bombarded with offers for Eli Manning and all kinds of stuff going on because I've become kind of an unofficial general manager for the Giants recently because of my – what are you laughing at? Because of my lifelong passion for the New York football Giants, as we like to call them.
To that end, Matthew, and, what do you do with Eli Manning?
If you were GM, Chris,
what would you do?
Wait a minute. Hold it. Before we get to that, cut it out with the guilt trip with me with Backspin taking a hiatus, okay?
Dude.
I have enough
to worry about. You're single-handedly ruining my Sunday mornings.
Well, this is what I mean. I have enough to worry about with my own family and stuff. I don't have to feel bad because you can't listen to my show Sunday mornings for a month, okay? Back off, will you?
Right, it was my weekly Sunday 8:03 tea time, right? And now I got nothing.
Yes, it was.
And to me, that's on you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sounds like everybody else I know. Go ahead, blame me. Go on. Go ahead. All right. What was your question?
So, if you were a GM of the Giants, what do you do with Eli Manning now?
I keep him. What are you talking about? I keep him.
I don't know. And I mean, do you look to go younger? I mean, you're coming off a terrible season. Do you look to go younger? Do you keep him for another couple of years?
All right. I didn't say a couple of years. But what I would do if I were the Giants GM is I would certainly hold on to Eli. I would get rid of Geno Smith in a heartbeat. Get him out of there real quick. I would hang on to Davis Webb. And I would also see, because – see, our whole plan this year, because our offensive line is sucked so bad, and when our guys started going down like they were shot, all our wide receivers, the plan came quickly into focus that if we could lose almost every game, we would be in position at the top of the draft for this next season. And except for that stupidity where they beat the Chiefs, which I still can't believe. So far the plan has been working pretty well. I mean, we're 2-11, and all we got to do is lose 3 more games, and we'll probably have the number 2 pick in the draft, and we're going to get one of these great young quarterbacks, and you let Eli teach these guys. Eli is the face. Think about how many 210 starts in a row. Come on, it's not Eli. Eli has lost a step from an otherwise slow gait that he has already, but without, I don't care who, if Tom Brady were playing with that team, they would be, I don't know, 4-9 or something. It's not all Eli's fault. We got to fix the offensive line. We got to get our receivers back healthy, but I would seriously, I would let Eli work with whatever young quarterbacks they're going to bring in. That's what I would do. I would not get rid of Eli.
Okay. So not doing that and drafting yet another quarter, not yet another, but you've already got one young quarterback on the roster. You bring in another.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you go offensive line? Why wouldn't you pick the best offensive lineman in the draft and see what you got with Davis?
That would certainly be fine, but because Eli is either on the way out or will be very shortly, unless they know something now, even though I'm the honorary GM, I haven't been to practice lately. I've been really busy. So I really, none of us really know what he can do. And I'm thinking, although this is probably stupid because clearly Jerry Reese and that idiot McAdoo didn't know what they were doing. And who knows what Davis Webb can do if he gets a chance to play. I don't know. Nobody does. So I'm thinking you're going to have him bring in another young quarterback, let him battle it out. But if we're at the top of the draft, I think there are a couple of quarterbacks there that you have to take a chance on. I would love to see Baker Mayfield in New York. That's what we need. That's what the Giants need. We need some fiery jerk that's going to piss people off. And that is a New York Giant guy. That's what I'm looking for. And I say bring him in and let's see what we got.
You know, you might have something there.
Can you imagine him? Can you imagine him in Giant Stadium with all our New York buddies up in the stands? Oh, it would be great. It would be awesome. He could make that little grab move he did on the sidelines, and they would love that in New York. He wouldn't get suspended. They'd build a statue in Times Square for him if he did that. That's what every one of us did that growing up. That's what we did. So it would be great.
So, Matthew, with the Giants out of contention, right, are you rooting for the Eagles or the Cowboys to do well since they're in the NFC East, or you're like me, and there's no way I'm rooting for any team in my division? If I can't win it, I don't want you to win it either.
You know, it's a great question, and here's every day. You mentioned I'm on a show called Matthew and Mikey every day on ESPN Radio here. Mikey grew up in Kentucky. He's an SEC fan, and he's been for 55 years an SEC fan. And he always talks about that, like in the NCAA tournament, if Kentucky's not in it and South Carolina's in it, I'm rooting for South Carolina because they're brothers. They're in the SEC. And I go berserk with that line of thinking. There is no – you couldn't pay me money or any self-respecting Giants fan. You couldn't pay them enough money to root for the Eagles, the Redskins, the Cowboys. As a matter of fact, anything we could do to keep them from winning is what would happen. Even if it were illegal, we would do it. So, no, anybody but those teams is who I will. So, as a matter of fact, we've kind of jumped on the Saints bandwagon on our show because they're fun to watch, and they're not in our division, and we don't care. So we're kind of rooting for the Saints. No.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's no way I would ever root for the Ravens, the Bengals, or the Browns to do anything but lose. None of those teams can lose enough for me. So even if the Steelers were in a down season, I'm not jumping on any one of those bandwagons, and I'm still rooting for them to lose, no matter who else they're playing. I'm with you.
And it's ludicrous to think that anybody does that. Seriously. If you grew up rooting for a team your whole life, how could you possibly root for a hated rival in your own division? How do you do that? How does anybody do that?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
No idea.
Yeah. No.
Bob, questions
for
Matthew?
Chris, I'll tell you, Bob. Hey, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, man. I wanted to stay right on the Giants for one more question. And no matter who's quarterbacking that team next year, the bottom line is they're going to have to get the ball to Odell Beckham. Because think about it, Matthew. If they don't, you think about how ugly it might get very quickly next year, no matter who's coaching and how this goes.
Yeah.
But wanted to get your kind of a prediction of what kind of Beckham comes back. Is he going to be 100% healthy? Is he going to be a bit more mature? Do you want a mature Beckham here? Do you want the fiery guy back? What's going to happen with this guy?
I don't know. I'm really hoping. I hope, you know, with all of these guys, these elite athletes that have some kind of edge to them or some, you know, they get, they're immature in certain other ways and all that stuff. I want the guy that talked to the kicking net on the sidelines. That's the guy I want. because that's when he was doing that, he was, you know, except for maybe Antonio Brown, there was no receiver in the league like him. That's the guy I want. I don't want him to get in fights with his teammates. I don't want him to do stupid stuff. But if he, I'm hoping he can come back and be totally healthy. And he's got to have that kind of edge to him. He is those once-in-a-generation kind of talents. You just got to let him go, I think. And as he gets older and in the league for longer, I think he'll calm it down a little bit. But I hope he's the same guy that we saw before he got hurt. And that was really the killer for the Giants. I mean, they lost all their other receivers too, but once you lose Odell and you don't have to, you know, two guys were on him every time he stepped on the field, you can't do that anymore. It took away from Eli. It took away from whatever game plans they had, you know, so we need him back badly. You're right, Bob, and they got to go to him all the time if they can.
And, Matthew, as you know, only in New York can the horrificness known as the New York Giants be overshadowed by something, and that's the Yankees, of course, and the offseason that they've had. And we could talk about the Stanton and some of the other deals that are in place or whatever that might happen. But I have to go back, and I'm still talking to people about the Girardi dismissal, shall we say, and wanted to get your opinion. I know it's an analytic league, and we're hearing all kinds of rumors of why he was let go, communication things, non-analytics, this and that. Just wanted to get, were you a Girardi guy, and what was your reaction when it happened?
Well, first of all, my phone just beeped, and it's funny because I'm also an honorary GM of the Yankees.
Here we go.
And, you know, they're calling.
God forbid.
I don't know if you pipe down, Chris. I don't know if you've heard. We have... We got Manny Machado is going to – this is the deal we're working on now. Machado's going to the White Sox, and then the White Sox are going to deal him to the Yankees. It's a whole thing we're working on. So, you know, I'm just letting you know. Yeah. As far as Girardi, I was always a big – I liked Joe Girardi. I thought he did a really, really good job, except for a couple instances when he was the manager of the Yankees. And I really liked him. After they let him go, I was pretty upset when they let him go, but the more I talk to my friends who still live in New York and, you know, are much more plugged in to the day-to-day stuff than I am right now, just like you said, a big part of this, and it's why I think Aaron Boone is a really good choice, so much of all sports, but baseball in particular, since we're talking about it, has to do with how they get along with the manager. You always hear it. He's a player's manager. He's a this, he's a that. And from everything that I heard after they let him go was that, you know, guys would die for Joe Torre on the Yankees. They would take a bullet for Joe Torre. Nobody was taking a bullet for Joe Girardi. Nobody. And that, especially in a place like New York, as long as it's like why again, I think Aaron Boone's a good hire. He's going to be great dealing with the media. He's been part of the media now for years. He has the respect of all these young ball players, not only because of his family and how much he knows about baseball, but they've all been watching him on ESPN for years now. He's had every single player in the league because he's covered them for the last few years, and guys really, really like him. And he's also an analytics guy too. So I think he'll be a really good hire. I was upset when they let Girardi go, but after the more I heard about and the more I read, I'm fine with it. I'm okay with it. As long as we win the World Series, I'm fine with it.
Again, God forbid that happens.
Yeah, stop it. just stop.
So, Matthew, on both, you know, we talk, obviously talking here baseball, we're talking Giants football. You know, as a kid growing up, who were your favorite players?
Well, you know me pretty well now, Chris, and you know that I'm a very old guy. When I say that I've been a lifelong Giants fan, before you guys were born, I was watching my friend Stewie Schwartz and I every Friday night. I don't know if you've ever heard of one of the great coaches of the New York Football Giants, Allie Sherman.
Oh yeah,
Allie Sherman. Allie Sherman used to have a show on WOR in New York every Friday night, the Allie Sherman Show. And Stewie and I would sleep over at Stewie's house on Friday night, and we would watch the Allie Sherman Show. And Saturday morning, we would get up, and we'd go out to the side lawn at Stewie's house, and we would play one-on-one tackle. And then we would watch the game if it happened to be on, because not the games weren't on TV a lot of the times, but we would listen on the radio. On my wall, there was a great artist named Robert Rieger, who used to do sports drawings. He's an award-winning artist, and he did pencil drawings of, on the wall in my room with my brother Mitchie, who's also my twin brother, who's also the same kind of Giants fan I am, were drawings of Sam Huff, Dick Modjalewski, Frank Gifford, Kyle Rote. That's how far back I go with the Giants. I mean, we used to go to games at Yankee Stadium when they played at Yankee Stadium. And I've been a Giant fan my whole life. That's how far back I go. The older guys are the guys that still stand out in my mind. And then, of course, we got to the great Super Bowl winning teams. Lawrence Taylor, knucklehead that he was. All those teams and Sims and all those guys, they were all, I didn't really have any real favorites except for the whole teams. I just always loved the Giants, always.
So on the baseball side, who are your favorite Yankees growing up?
Come on. I mean, you know, number seven, the greatest was. Now, I wasn't old enough to see DiMaggio play. I'm not quite that old. but here's a great story about the Yankees. When my brother and I want to say we were six. We were living on Long Island. We had just moved to Long Island, and my dad got tickets to the stadium. So my mom put our little bow ties and our little shorts on, and we took a train into the city, and we went from Penn Station, we got on the subway and went up to the Bronx, up to the stadium. And you got out of the subway stop, and you had to walk up this really long ramp, kind of a road, up to the stadium. And we were walking up this road, and a Cadillac convertible pulled up next to us. And the guy in it said to my mom, "You're going to the game?" And my mother said, "Yeah." It was Mel Allen.
Wow.
For the people listening who don't know Mel Allen, who he was, one of the iconic great baseball broadcasters of all time. And he was the Yankees guy, and he also did the Game of the Week, which was still pretty rare back then. Anyway, he said, "Come on, I'll take you up." And we got in this car, and he drove us up this long road up to the stadium. I mean, that's how long it's been since we've been Yankee fans, stadium, and they were playing the White Sox, and the White Sox had a pitcher named Bob Shaw. And we got there early, and we walked down right to the field, and we were standing at field level, and they were playing Pepper on the field before the game. And my father said, "I'm going to get Bob Shaw to come over here. He's from Long Island." And we went, "Okay." And he said, "Hey, Bob." And this guy turned around, Bob Shaw, and he had a cigarette in his mouth. He was out on the field. And he walked over, and my dad said, hey, can you sign this for my kids? We're from Long Island." And they had this whole conversation. I mean, we didn't care. We were watching all the ball players and everything. But, again, that's how far back it goes. And My favorite Yankees, Thurman Munson is probably my favorite Yankee of all time. I mean, as much as I loved, you know, the old guys, Thurman Munson to me was the epitome of what being a Yankee was. Do you have time for one more quick story?
Sure.
About the Yankees? So I and this ties in with golf too, Chris. I was very blessed, as I've said to you many times, to play in a lot of celebrity golf tournaments. And one year, I get to play in a tournament of all places in Bentonville, Arkansas, which is the home of Walmart. And it's the biggest celebrity tournament in the country. There were 150 celebrities there. It was a golf tournament and a bass fishing tournament. And it was unbelievable. Anyway, the only hotel in town at that time was a Days Inn. So we took over the whole Days Inn, and I go to this room, big room they had set up as a hospitality place. And I look at this table, and sitting at the table is Moose Scourin and Hank Bauer.
Wow.
And, yeah, and so I went over to the table like the six-year-old that I was, and I introduced myself, and I said, I'm the biggest Yankee fan, and but Moose didn't talk very much. Hank Bauer grabbed my arm with this, you know, fist the size of a ham. He said, "Sit down!" And he pulled me down next to him. And for 3 days, these guys wouldn't let me out of their sight. Drinking, I never saw anybody drink like these two guys, especially Hank Bauer. And I got to hear stories from these two. And one of the first things I said was, I said, in 1961, I went to a game with my dad at the stadium, and you guys were playing the Tigers. And I said to Moose Scourin, I said, it was nothing in the bottom of the ninth, and you got a base hit to win the game 1-0. And Moose Scourin says, looks at Hank Bauer, and he says, "Don Mossy, curveball," like that. And he wasn't kidding. He was not kidding either. It was, you know, some of the greatest times ever were getting to spend talking to those guys about their, you know, Hank Bauer was Mantle's roommate, Mantle's rookie year. And I think they lived together, they roomed together at the Roosevelt Hotel, I think, in New York, And he was telling stories about Mickey's rookie year and just, you know, it's amazing. It's you think about that franchise and all the great players and everybody that's been there, and so many of us that grew up as Yankee fans that we've been so lucky. We've had so many generations of great teams and great players, you know, including Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, and Manny Machado. No, it's great. It's just great.
You're lucky we're on the radio right now, and I'd say something to you for crying out loud.
Yes, all right. You can call me back and say something if you want.
So on that note, anyway, Matthew, we're going to let you go. But before we do, let our listeners know how they can stay up to date with all the great things that you're doing, whether it's on social media or how they can hear you, even though I can't hear you on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, and if you keep it up, you'll never be. I'll stop the show. If you keep it up, you can follow me on Twitter at ML on WLXG, or you can go to WLXG.com and listen live or get our app. We're on 4 to 7 every day, and hopefully someday soon, Backspin Golf will be on Sunday mornings from 8 to 9, just so Chris will shut up.
I'm counting the days now, my friend.
Yeah,
Matthew, thank you so much.
Too.
You've
my pleasure.
Like you said, you've become an outstanding friend. You're just absolutely the best. I can't thank you enough for your generosity in coming on this show tonight and what you've been doing on the golf show as well. Thank you very much for all of your time. You're fantastic.
No, it's my pleasure always, Chris. And Bob, it was great talking to you too.
Same to you, Matthew.
Happy
holidays. Take care, Matthew. Happy holidays to you and your family. Right. We'll catch up soon, my friend.
Talk soon.
Yes, we will. See you.
Bye-bye.
See you, Matthew. That is the great Matthew Lawrence. And Bob, I just, you know, every time I get the opportunity to talk to Matthew, he makes me smile a ton and just have a lot of fun with him. He's been great on the golf side and then, you know, the second time coming back here on this show. But the guy's got a lot of great stories and he's just fun. I just love him.
Just so many, with his celebrity status, Chris, plus being a New Yorker and having lived in that era of the 50s, 60s, 70s when it was crazy in New York in every sport, and we didn't even touch on the Knicks and the Jets. I'm sure he's got so many stories, but it's always amazing just to sit back and listen of these stories. And again, such a talented guy, and we're privileged to speak with him.
Absolutely, we are.